can do ministerial last.
Okay.
We'll take last.
All right, good morning. Welcome. This is a meeting of the South Kingstown Technical Review Committee. The date today is Wednesday, May 16th. The first item for discussion on our agenda is development plan review for the Body Mechanics Addition, a proposed 648-square-foot addition to an existing building measuring 18 feet by 36 feet and associated site improvements on AP 57-1, lot 171, located at 163 Main Street. Good morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Can you kindly just state your names for our record?
Sure. I'm Duncan Pendlebury, the architect representing Rehab Realty.
Jim Agustinucci, I'm the owner of the building.
All right, wonderful. So if you all just want to start by giving us kind of, I know it's pretty straightforward, but just a summary of what the plan is that you're doing, and then we'll talk through any of the issues you have.
Sure. We are proposing to add, as you mentioned, a...
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would kindly state your name for our record.
Sure. Bill Dowdell, Dowdell Engineering. I guess the owner's not here.
Do you want us to wait?
No, they could be. They're from Upton, so I guess they're not coming. This lot consists of an existing house here. It used to be owned by the Weavers, and years ago there was a residential compound done on Camp Fuller Road, and it was a, the back of this lot was some leftover land that they added to this lot. And what the proposal is today is to simply make a lot split, keeping the barn on the rear lot, and they want to build a new house in the rear. So sheet 3 shows you how the lots would be configured. And we've done the two soil evals on the rear. And very good test results, 10-foot drive holes. It's located directly across from the governor's driveway. So I believe that's their summer home. So the proposed house obviously would go within the allowable building envelope somewhere in here. And we'll have to put in a denitrification system. But you've all probably been down Camp Fuller Road. It's very rural, and the only real busy time is the summer for the camp. Any questions?
I have a couple of comments. So
okay.
I wanted to talk about one. Actually, Bill, you can look at the sheet 3 again. This little structure here.
That's gone.
I was going to say, it doesn't meet the accessory setback. The other two, I measured with my scale. It looks like those do, right?
Yeah.
The barn buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened to be torn down just recently.
Okay.
Great. So already gone?
Yes, it's already gone. Yeah.
Okay, well, can you revise that?
Sure.
Plan, just show that it's not there?
Yeah.
For the plan?
Yep.
Wonderful.
So this other one, I'm sorry, is a barn, you said?
Yes.
And that's going to remain?
Yes. It'll be an accessory structure for the new house. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the accessory structures in the R80 zone need to be 20 feet, and I pulled out the scale this morning. It looks like it's sort of perfectly situated to give you 20 feet on
that's
either side.
Exactly how we designed it.
Wonderful. The other question I have is, because Camp Fuller Road is a private road up until this point, right, where it transitions into the right-of-way,
mm-hmm.
the frontage is clearly provided here, but frontage and access are slightly different, right? And what I need, really, is either something for Camp Fuller Road that shows that the Calianos, as that property owner, have the right to put a new driveway or expand or intensify on that private road, or... the alternative would be an easement across the first lot to get us to the second lot so that we know that that proposed lot 2 would have access.
Okay.
So one or the other, whichever way is sort of smoother or better outcome for you, doesn't matter to me.
Probably a letter from the Camp Fuller Road Association.
Right, yep. That would meet that for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But just something so we know we have
ownership of Camp Fuller Road is a real, goes back to the colonial times and
trying to find
out. And
sometimes so hard, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So.
Which is why the easement might, you know, whatever's easier, whatever gets us there.
They recently did some improvements here. The association did some improvements on the plan here. So we get a letter from the association acknowledging that, you know, we can have a driveway there.
Okay.
All right.
I have a question. You mentioned there was a residential compound involved with this.
No, years ago there was a residential compound. I think I gave a copy of that to Kayla, but this land was not part of it.
Okay.
All right, and the residential compound was from here back.
Okay.
Which was actually Bill's good work and knowledge to know that, because when I had originally met with the Calianos, I said, I see you depicted on a residential compound map, which is making me a little concerned here. And we sort of ran it through and realized that it was not actually a lot created within it. So
right. Okay. It was like leftover land. Bayfield Corporation owned it, and then they did a deal with the South Kingstown Land Trust and then a couple of additional residential compound lots. But the back of this lot was like leftover land. So the Weavers picked it up, and then Calianos bought it.
And they don't pursue anything with this little patch back here?
Well, that would be up to the people in the front house when they finally... I think the idea is to sell this house and build a new one back here.
Okay. Any other comments?
You got a monument over the corners, Bill?
As much as it's necessary, you know, survey-wise, whatever Rich Cushon tells me I have to do, we'll do.
In terms of defining where the, you know, where the right of way is.
Oh, it's monument. That the wall is there and these drill holes are there. Those little circles are drill holes.
Bill, we ask that you put monumentation at all new lot line intersections,
okay,
or corners. So really, the monument would be three. But you'd have one on Camp Fuller, one, yeah, at the jog in the middle property line, and one at the end of that line.
We can add those. We'll probably add a drill hole back here if there isn't one already.
I know the road is pretty substandard. Do you have an opportunity, at least for the width, for the length of this property? I know there was a subdivision further down that was approved but never, I think, constructed. Is there an opportunity to upgrade at least that section? You are intensifying it to some degree.
Yeah, I would defer that to the association. There is an association that maintains that road. You can't
but they maintain the existing geometry. I'm thinking,
right,
you know, something more uniform than what exists out there now. I mean, it's one of the worst roads, private roads that they've ever been on.
What are you suggesting?
I think, you know, just something more. I mean, your drawing is accurate. Next balance, you know, at some point, just more of a uniform width.
How about like maybe an easement across the front for future widening or something
that
like
would
that?
Be beneficial.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a problem with Camp Fuller Road. It's exceeded its with the number of units, existing units.
You mean further
down
in
there? It's just
quite a bit further
in.
All right, well, I'll explore that with the owner. You know, as far as giving the association an easement for the front for future widening.
And I think they need to look at the seal, and I haven't been out there as of recent, but I think you need to look at, you know, the width of the road and the site distance and whatnot. Because
the association did get an easement from the governor, and,
okay,
and they've widened the entrance a little bit. So you've actually got two-way traffic at the very beginning, and I think the thing that we could look into is maybe just giving a widening easement to the association.
Bill, are they intending to move the entrance to that 50-foot right-of-way that crosses the governor's property?
No, not anymore. That was something that previous owner, I think his name was Sindelar or something, he had done something along the lines of giving them an easement, but this will probably never be used. The widening that occurred is to the north of that existing 50-foot easement. Well, we'll look into that, John.
Okay.
Some sort of an easement for road widening.
It is hard to imagine one of those big fire trucks even getting down Camp Fuller Road.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest problem is when the camp opens, the food supply trucks.
Oh, yes.
Everybody has to stop. Okay.
Any other comments?
So we would, at this point, make a motion to recommend that the planning board approve, if there's no significant issues, and put on the consent agenda for no further review.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still like to look at the road.
John, my thought on this is that I can't require a subdivision, which is just a division of land and not a development of a house, to mitigate an existing condition. I don't think it's in the findings of the planning board to have them do that. So if they're willing to look at the expanding the right-of-way so that it can extend, then that's, I think, something that they're giving to us without necessarily having to in order to make the findings required.
But you're saying subdivision of a lot without building a house. I mean, the intent clearly is...
Yeah, but the legal definition of subdivision is division of land only. It's not development of land. It's just division. So when we look at a subdivision and whether it can be approved, we only look at the division of the land and whether they create lots that are buildable and if those lots have permanent and adequate access. I mean, if you're saying that they don't have that back lot doesn't have adequate access, then that's something different.
Well, I think that's the issue. Is the access adequate?
Obviously, if it's good enough for the governor's house, it's good enough for our house.
I mean, the governor's house is an existing dwelling. This is
But I mean, we're probably just going to tee up a driveway opposite her driveway, you know.
But they have furniture.
I mean, and if that's the case, then maybe the other option that Kayla presented them, which was an access easement to US 1, I mean, then they're probably going to just take that option because that would be adequate access. So.
The problem with what you're saying, though, is that you get no other bite at the apple. I mean, the next time anybody sees it is that soil erosion control with their action.
Sure. Yeah.
And it doesn't ever come back to a point of...
I get that, but I'm held to what the legal standard is.
I mean, there's an intensification of use on, or what's being proposed, an intensification of use on Camp Fuller Road.
So if it's your opinion that they will not have adequate access to that property, then that's a recommendation I can take.
I would say... I was still to look at it, but based on my recollection last time I was on King Fool Road, it's very, very inadequate. As it stands now, never mind any type of intensification. So
okay.
I guess as long as that's, I guess, a recommendation from my office, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that can go with the recommendation to the planning board, too. And if Bill's going to look at getting easement to widen the road, it doesn't necessarily result in actual widening.
Correct.
So I guess what I'd like to determine here, then, is what is it that would need to happen for you to say that it is adequate access?
Yeah, I just think it needs to be a uniform width with adequate site distance at Post Road.
And what width would that be?
Whatever our private road, 18 feet. River rush.
18 with a foot on each side.
I'm sorry?
18 with a 1 foot shoulder on each side.
I don't think you need a defined shoulder other than it be free of vegetation. It doesn't need to be a formal, like, you know, private road with a landscape shoulder, you know, grass shoulder.
For what distance in?
For the length of the property.
For the length of the property. The two properties.
Correct.
All we would do is grant a widening easement. You know, it's up to the association whether or not they widen the road. There's an association that takes care of this road. They just widened in the entrance just in the last couple of years.
The association owns the actual...
No, see, that's the problem. Ownership of the actual land is almost impossible to establish.
But it's actually owned
by the heirs of an old farmhouse, Kenyan farmhouse from the 1800s. But there's an association that maintains it.
So this is part of a long, skinny lot that ends at a farmhouse from the 1800s?
It's not taxed as a separate lot.
What's funny about it is that to this point, so where this property line splits there, mm-hmm. see how this actually traverses across the road? On our tax maps, it is a private road from here to Post Road, and beyond here, it's a right-of-way. So Camp Fuller Road, as far as the private road, is only this duration.
It's
at that point, it continues, keeps the name, but transitions into a right-of-way across.
Yeah, the ownership probably lies with the heirs of someone from the 1700s, okay. the Kenyon farm that existed when they started subdividing either side.
So the association controls the road, but it does not own the road.
Right.
And they pay into the association.
What's that?
Do they pay into the association?
Yes. Yes, everybody chips in.
Is anybody paying taxes?
It's not a separate APN lot number,
no,
you know, in this area.
We don't pay taxes on platted.
It's platted?
It's platted. Yeah, it's platted up to that transition.
It's platted on either side, but the ownership of the actual land that the road is on, you know, goes back to the 1700s, and we never tracked down all the heirs.
Mm-hmm. So again, I guess I would say, but this is a question to me that finding is adequate access. Adequate access to a new lot does not necessarily require improvement of the entire frontage in front of that lot, of the road in front of that lot. It's access. They have to have enough to have access to the lot.
Okay.
And if that can't happen, if you can't improve the lot to the 18 feet, then your other option for adequate access is to give it easement over lot one to Post Road. That's the finding that has to be made.
So if we give you an easement that's wide enough from an 18-foot road with 2 1-foot shoulders,
then that finding would be made by the planning board.
Okay.
They couldn't.
I have to tell you, I'm a little nervous about the adequacy of access through an easement to an entity that doesn't control what it would be appended to.
What do you mean?
You're giving an easement for, let's assume, 8 feet to add to the 10 feet that's there.
No, what I'm talking about is a separate easement that would go over lot one to provide access to lot two. So it'd be like a driveway easement.
That's a different solution.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That would be adequate.
Yeah.
But the existing right of way, I mean, if this is accurately depicted, I'm assuming it is of adequate width.
Well, they just improved the entrance to this jog in the road. So that you actually have two-way traffic now to somewhere in here. This wall has been moved since this mapping was done. The wall along the governor. The governor granted the association an easement across the entrance.
So again, I don't think it's an issue of adequate width of the right-of-way. I think it's an issue of the horizontal and vertical geometry of the traveled way. That's the issue.
So it sounds like the options really for getting you to where this is approved are to either pursue an easement over lot one for access to lot two.
That might be the simplest.
Or to actually discuss with the association and get a commitment to widen the travelway. Is that we're talking to an 18-foot width to the point where we can say access is provided for a lot two. That seems to be, does anyone disagree with that or does that sound? Okay, so that's the piece that still needs to get worked out. However, you meet one of those scenarios, we can still consider putting you on the planning board's consent agenda once that's met, right?
Okay. Let me discuss that with the owner.
Can I want to understand the second option now, which was the first, the second. You're actually suggesting that the only way to achieve the second adequacy standard would be to have the widening done.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right.
Or a commitment to have the widening done?
No,
is that good enough?
Yeah.
Or the actual widening?
It has to be done. It would have to be done prior.
Performance bond, but it needs to be done.
It would have to be done prior to recording. Or it's an offset improvement they could post a bond.
Again, the problem is you're adding to the title property rights conflict or chaos if you're just adding another 4 feet to an unknown width already.
And if you're only doing it to provide access and not for the rest of the 160 feet of frontage.
But it's still in the control of these new lots as well. they're part of that organization that actually...
With the option that has a right-of-way going out to Route 1. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, what I'm saying is they're part of that entity that you're talking about. So we're imposing something on them. We wouldn't, might, you know, we're suggesting an imposition on those lots as well as all the other...
As members of the
As members. They're members of the same association that we're imposing that to. And the new owner of this new parcel would be owners of that as well.
So. Right, the association doesn't actually own the right of
No, they don't. They maintain it. Right, right.
Yeah, right.
Well, but that's like a state. That's like a state widening a roadway that the town may maintain.
Except I've got heirs who could pop up at any time and say, "Hey, we've decided we want to put up the toll booth."
It's a good idea.
Okay, I get the gist. I understand what you're asking.
Okay, so. I mean, I think, given the uncertainty, I'm going to sort of lay out two options here for you. You can come back to the TRC next month and then get on the consent agenda following that, or I can put you on the planning board non-consent agenda.
I would say come back to the TRC and
okay.
get this thing settled.
Okay. Right. So let's do that. I'll make
and
a motion.
I'll try to get the owner to show up.
Okay. To continue the application upon until receipt of additional revised information.
Okay.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
All in favor?
All right. My experience is that it goes a lot easier when people go to TRC and say, who's going to do
Thank you.
See you later.
Okay, up next on our agenda, we have preliminary plan review for a minor subdivision, Uspokog, which I never say right, Terrace, a proposed two-lot minor subdivision with frontage on Uspokog Road, located at AP 13-1, lot 42. J. Thomas Construction is our applicant. Angelo Tarantino is our owner. Gentlemen, would state your name for the record.
John D'Agostino, owner of J. Thomas Construction.
Josh Rosen, Principal Engineering. So the property here is on Uspokog Road, Route 138. Stay right away. Parcel is located about 3,500 feet from the intersection of 2 and 138 to the west. And the proposal contemplates taking the 17 acres of existing land, which is on an R80 in an R80 parcel, and putting one subdivision line nearly down the middle of the property to create two proposed lots that meet the zoning criteria for the R80. On the property, there's an existing dwelling with some accessory structures. The property's already been basically developed once for a single family use with those accessory structures. There's a remains of a dwelling, a shed, and a garage, which is still fairly well intact. So again, the proposal is to take, there's about, you know, I'd say 600 feet of existing frontage along Uspokog Road here. And the proposed subdivision line will basically bisect that frontage and create the two properties that, you know, have nearly 8 acres each for land area. There's wetlands on the property through the middle of the land. There's an intermittent stream, some forested wooded swamps. The upland calculation was done to basically show that each lot on its own could stand with enough buildable area in excess of 80,000 square feet. We've got the initial lot here with 2.4 acres of buildable land. The slightly larger lot has 3 acres of buildable area. That's all land area minus the wetlands on the site. The wetlands have been flagged by a biologist. There's, again, the primary area is through the middle of the property, and then we've got upland at the rear and upland at the front. We've done test holes on the property to support OWTS on both parcels, or both proposed parcels. At this point, they were witnessed and confirmed by DEM.
So the application, again, is just to create the subdivision into two properties. Just did some numbers if anybody's interested as well. For the upland area, again, we did use in the calculation some upland at the rear. Not that it's really significant, but just for discussion. The first lot, lot number 42, what we're calling 42-1 here, there's approximately 68,000 square feet of upland in the front. And the balance of that 2.4 acres is the credit for the upland in the rear. The larger lot, 42-2 as we call it, that has approximately 96,000 square feet of upland area in the front of the property on its own. And the balance of the 3 acres is at the rear of the property.
So the upland at the rear of that property is not really buildable because you can't get to it because of the wetlands and streams, correct?
Correct.
So all of the future development would be confined to this front corner?
Correct. If John goes forward with the property, it's contemplated for just two single-family uses in the front.
Pretty much my main question is how much of that upland area was in that front corner, and making sure there was enough setback with the for the OWTS and the well in that area.
So the lot's obviously very, very deep. So we just enlarged the plan here to kind of give that sense of the space up front that
since
would be
not
buildable.
Doing anything with
correct.
Monumentation for property corners.
So when they set the subdivision in place, we've got the iron rods at the corners to be set. And one of the things that we did too is we show one here at the center, at the 100-foot riverbank wetland, where it intersects the center, that middle lot line, the sideline, just for reference purposes for the two lots. So we'll set an additional monument just as a point on a line to give a perspective for the landowners going forward. Because obviously when we put the monumentation in at the rear corners, it's, over 1,000 feet away. Doesn't give you much of a frame of reference, but all the corners are set to have the monuments plus that point on the line. The center line. Well, we've got the way they're showing the plan is iron rod to be set.
I'd prefer granite bounds.
On all of the corners or just the ones on the road?
The ones along Route 38.
Okay.
Have you applied for the PAP yet?
We haven't applied for a PAP. There's two existing driveways that supported the residential use. We've written to DOT asking them if they'd like a PAP. We'll send one if we need to when we go to the site development stage. In the site development stage, we're also, just so everyone's aware, we would be moving forward with an OWTS application, but we're just going to go in with a joint freshwater wetlands OWTS just to cover the wetlands on the property, even though we're not proposing to build in any of the jurisdictional areas or disturb those. They have a joint process now. We're going to take care of that at one shot just to make sure there's no issues.
So getting back to the driveway, you're going to use the existing entrances?
Correct. We're proposing to use both of the existing curb cuts, so to speak, for the new access to the homes.
Any other comments? Jevin? Anything? Okay. So this is a minor subdivision, which means the
that we could, the TRC can make a motion for it to be on the consent agenda of the planning board for confirmation. I would entertain a motion to such if we're of a mindset. I'll make a motion. In a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So 10 copies reduced with granite bounds.
Four by 17. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Okay. Thank,
thank
you.
You. Thank you.
We have development plan review for Ministerial Road Scenic Highway. This is the Johnson House Edition, a proposed residential addition measuring 16 feet by 20 feet along the Ministerial Road Scenic Highway, AP 54, Lot 39, located 1701 Ministerial Road. James Johnson is our owner and applicant. He is unable to be here due to a medical appointment this morning. The TRC reviewed this at the last month. It's been since then to the Conservation Commission, so in your TRC packets, you should have received the Conservation Commission's advisory opinion on the application. Rich and Elise, because you didn't receive a copy of the site plan at the last meeting, I think I've also put a copy of the site plan in there for you.
Yep.
Do we have any comments, questions, thoughts on this?
My only comment was that I don't believe it triggers even soil erosion control, just because I don't think the volume of material is enough. But if it does, you know, we'll have to come back. We'll have to send something. But other than that,
okay.
I mean, not changing the driveway, not clearing anything, not doing
it. I'll move approval.
Were there any other issues that were discussed that at the last meeting? I mean, it seems pretty straightforward.
And this is one of those that we
are
trying to eliminate out of this process if we can.
Yeah, but I think we put the sort of standard conditions of approval on here. One, that they're going to need to receive a building permit just so nobody loses track of it. If they're disturbing more than the threshold for soil erosion sediment control, they would need to receive one of those permits, and that their development should be in strict conformance with the site plan as approved. John, did you say something about a motion before?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
I'll second the motion.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Do we have a second? Yep. Oh, done that. Okay. All right. Thank you.
About minutes?
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Minutes from April 18th, 2018.
So I just had a couple quick comments on the first item.
Okay.
So I think I, again, it's not really a condition of approval, but they have to have, you know, flow calculations and methodology by a PE before the project. For 127 Main Street. And I think we also wanted to pre-treat a manhole at the property line. Those are only two issues that.
Okay, so pre-treatment, manhole.
The property line. And again, I don't know if we want to, I know I said at the last meeting, they need to, just like I did today for. Mechanics and we for full calculations and methodology before we're able to issue sign off on building permit.
What I can do, what I'll do is, usually when there's sort of an ongoing issue or something we're going to look at again, we do those tables, right? The issue tables at the end of the agenda item. So, John, I can revise this to have an issue table.
That's
so that we don't lose track of that.
I just don't want the applicant to say they got blindsided that. Having to do the wastewater calculations.
Okay.
So again,
yep.
It's not needed for this approval, just it's needed for the floor.
Okay.
I settled for the building permit.
Any other?
No.
Okay. So maybe motion to approve as amended?
Yeah.
Was that a one and a two? Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.